are you going to start this podcast with a massive Kierkegaard style introduction, or are we just going to talk like normal people?
Fuck no.
Okay. All right.
So this is the second episode of Boss of the Brewer that you're listening to. Hello. No way. That was that didn't quite go as planned, eh?
That was it. So, I mean, if people are only listening to this show and just think that we like spend hours planning these things, we don't. We don't talk at all.
Absolutely not.
Right. We sometimes send a message or two, especially last week. But
exactly.
You would call that a miscommunication, possibly.
100%. It was a miscommunication. Probably, I don't even know what's the next level up from miscommunication, but whatever that was us. Because we don't normally speak like day to day during the week, and we're not in like a mutual group chat or anything silly like that. We just talk on this show. And because last week was some pretty significant news, and I did reach out to you privately and just say, hey man, everything okay? You want to talk about it? And you were like, I'm on an hour. And I was like, okay, he doesn't want to talk about it. I think I better nip that in the bud. And I thought that I'd step in and I fucked that up, didn't I?
It's fine. Well, to be honest, I'm a bit of a sicko, and I thought it was pretty entertaining. And I actually did get quite a bit of feedback on your intro. Obviously. Okay,
wow. What sort of feedback did you get?
Oh, just that it was just kind of random, completely random, and just completely unexpected. And
my where I was coming from, it was like because of your history and Black Ops and all that sort of stuff. I just knew that there was just going to be people who were going to tune into it. And I was like, oh yeah, we better make sure that this just set the record straight, I suppose, was my attempt, but probably just hey, look, nobody's perfect. I don't care. I said what I said. Say anything.
No, your heart was in the right place.
Exactly. Didn't say anything controversial. Just laying it out, and then sort of assume that you weren't going to talk about it, and then you just went and talked about it.
Oh, that's fine. It was all good. You got a beer?
Yeah, I do actually, and I think I've got a clean glass. I have tried a new glass cleaning strategy.
Interesting. What's the strategy?
Acid.
Really?
Yeah.
That's a level above most people are not prepared to go to.
Not LSD, but rather...
Okay. Or just so you can't see the bubbles, or they look clear to you.
They make funny shapes. And I just watched a couple of YouTube videos on glass cleaning, because my glasses, I put them in the dishwasher, and I'm dickhead for putting them in the dishwasher, and Adam Shell's probably just fucking turning in his grave at the moment or something like that. And
well, hopefully he's still alive.
Yeah, he's fine. And I saw this one where they use phosphoric acid, and which is in sort of homebrew sanitizer. And I went, I get that, because I'm thinking I'm brewer brain just kicked in. I was like, oh, if it's a calcium buildup, then yes, an acid would actually fix that. Okay. And then I went, well, bugger the bloody homebrew grade stuff. I got the industrial grade acid out and mixed some up in my sink. And I think I can see marks in it. It's not going to be perfect, but I think it's going to be better. So
what, when you say a calcium buildup, what's causing that?
Calcium,
like detergent or?
No. There's calcium in town water.
Right. Okay. So it's not actually dirty.
No, it's just like, a chemical reaction of what happens.
Right.
Fuck yeah. Look at that.
Oh, let's look at that. Okay, let's get a little screenshot there. Hang on. You got to be still. Wow.
I'm very happy with that.
I've never seen anything like that from you before. That's amazing.
I finally did it.
I can see you through. Show that in front of your face. I think I would be able to see your face. If you hold it.
How's that?
I mean, not really, but I can. I actually can see your face. That is amazing. Wow.
I've got this beer here, which is the Young Henry's Classic. Take a screenshot of that one as well.
Nice. Oh, yeah. Hang on. Nice. That goes down all right.
So this is the Young Henry's Classic Premium, and it's new. It's a new lager that Young Henry's have brought out. And I bought 2 6 packs of it last weekend,
and
it's really good. It's really, really good. Really, really, just doesn't even touch the side. So Young Henry's just released 3 beers in the classic series. I think there's a Crisp, which is a mid-strength lager, the Premium, which is a full-strength lager, even though it's only 4.2%. 4.2? 1.2 standos. There you go.
Oh, nice.
Ah, there you go. This beer's getting better by the day. And they did an XPA as well in this classic series. So it's just like they've just released a series of beers.
I'm in
two minds about it because like it's Young Henry's, it's an independent brewery and want to support an independent brewery, but it is a Dan Murphy's and BWS exclusive.
Yeah.
So it's like, and even then I'm like, you know, at least it's an independent brewery. At least it's not a fake supermarket brand on the shelf in a BWS or a Dan Murphy. So I'm just going to take the positive out of it. This is the thing, like love it or hate the duopoly of supermarkets that we've got in the country. It exists. Everybody shops at Dan Murphy's. Everybody buys alcohol from BWS. That's just a fact of life. And there you go.
Yeah, but I mean, you could also make the argument that, you know, Young Henry's as a brand that mainly contract brews their beer and have always mainly had their beer contract brewed by a brewery that mainly brews beer for Coles and Woolies are kind of part of the problem.
Yes.
That's what you're saying is you're in two minds about.
Well, you know, I guess where I'm coming from, the negative connotation of it, it's got nothing to do with this beer. It's got nothing to do with Young Henry's. It's just about just Woolies. I think it's a good thing that Woolies have decided to put an independent beer on the shelf instead of one of their fake brands. And I think that should be commended. And I think there should be more of it. That's kind of where I'm coming. That's where I'm coming from there. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, when I left
because
Black Ops,
every time there's an independent beer taking up, in this case, three shelf facings, right?
Yeah.
In the fridge at a BWS, BWS does not have a lot of fridge space. So the planogram there is pretty tight, and there's three spaces that are gone to an independent brewery. That's a good thing.
Yeah, and you got to take the deals as they come. Like when I left Black Ops 18 months ago or so, we were in talks. Well, we just brewed a beer with Coles under their Tinnies brand, and it was a collab. Mm. We weren't the first to do it. I think we might have been the second to do it. Modus might have been the first. There was another one, but it's literally you sit around a sales meeting and you're like, well, fuck, we need to sell more beer. And an opportunity comes along from the second biggest customer who has the second biggest distribution and says, let's do a beer that's co-branded. You're going to say yes to that absolutely every time, unless you're in an amazing financial position where you just don't need the money.
Yeah, but exactly.
You're going to say yes every time.
Yeah, yeah, indeed. So I've only had the Premium. I haven't had the other two, but it's a fucking delicious beer. It's very well done.
This might come up in our 12 questions because we've got a question that's loosely related to this. What the beer you're describing is a kind of not entry level, but a lower cost, easy drinking kind of
lager. Yeah.
Lager, right?
Yep.
So it is not dissimilar to what the majors are putting out, but it's put out by an independent and.
Yep.
That question.
It's
about
a good
whether
beer.
Or not...
I think it was like $22.50 for a sixer.
Well, that's cheap.
That's fucking cheap, man.
That's cheap. Yeah.
It's so good. So yeah.
I've got a Japanese lager as well.
What if you? Oh, okay. Is that one of those ones with sriracha ace grapes in it?
Yeah. One of those ones. I don't have any beer left in this house. I had my last one last week. I poured one out for Black Ops, and that was it. No more beers.
Are you in the new house?
I've been there 3 times this week, and the only thing I've achieved every time I've gone there, I've attempted to change a doorknob on one of the bedrooms. Right, a bunch of the bedrooms didn't have doorknobs. One of them did have a doorknob, so I started on the one that already had a perfectly functioning doorknob.
Right.
Took that off. Attempted to replace it.
Yes,
I've been there 3 times this week, and I have not succeeded in replacing the doorknob. Now, this afternoon, I got to the point of actually replacing it, and then it didn't stay open. It like didn't It like got jammed when you open it.
Oh, yeah.
It's too tight or something.
Did you read the instructions? Or?
I sure didn't.
Yeah, there you go.
No, I didn't read the instructions. But that's the level of, because we don't have power there. It's fucking hot. It's dark. We get there after work at 5 o'clock and I'm like, I'm going to do all the shit. And by the time I get there, I'm like, I don't want to do anything. So the first day I just went for a swim because it's got a pool.
Yeah.
Second day was yesterday. We just went out to dinner instead because it's like, I'm like, anyway, this is stupid.
Yeah.
And then today I got the doorknob thing done and then didn't work. And then I just left out in anger.
Wait, it's got no power.
No power. No.
And there's a pool.
Well, there was power, but when they moved out, they disconnected the power. And now I've got Sparky's in there trying to fix everything up and currently no power.
Yeah, that pool's not going to be in very good state very, very long without the filter running.
No, well, the filter doesn't work, I don't think. It's got a saltwater pool. And the chlorinator.
What sort of shitbox have you bought?
Oh, absolute shitbox. Complete shitbox. It's a fiberglass in-ground pool. Have you ever seen one of those?
Yes, of course.
It's like a shell. It's like a pool shell that you get from like Bunnings.
Yeah, you just in the ground. You chuck it in the ground. Yeah,
that's what it is. Yeah, and it's got a pool filter on it that definitely doesn't work.
Fuck no. You're gonna flatten this place, aren't you?
Eventually, but I have to live in it first for probably quite a long time.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I've got Sparky's in there, plumbers, Chippy. I'm doing a bit myself. Well, we've only got two weeks before we have to move in.
Oh Jesus!
Man. I'm hoping to paint Lexicon Half this weekend.
Okay. Have you got sugar soap?
Well, no, I don't have anything. I don't have anything yet.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Go get the stuff. I've got stuff.
Well,
painting stuff. Not paint, because I gave it all to Phil and Dan at Hiker.
Oh, yeah. Nice.
But probably a bit far. That's probably worth it. You'd probably cheaper for you just to go to Bunnings and get it sorted. But
yeah. Well, that's a loose plan this weekend, is to paint the bedrooms. But, yeah, fingers crossed. What's happening with you? Have you had a good week?
Very busy week. Getting ready to head off to Korea. So we're going to have to get someone to fill in next week.
Oh, next week. Nice.
Yeah. I'm off to Korea Monday night. I'm a little bit excited about that. You know how excited I got about going to Korea?
Very.
I was in the valley last night and
barbecue?
I got Korean fried chicken.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Nice. And I drank a Cass, which is like the mainstream beer over there that tastes like
nothing. Well, that's good. It'll be fresh in your mind. So, you'll be able to compare.
Well, I think it's practice. I think before you get good at something, you've got to practice. And I want to be good at Korea. And so that's the plan. And then I fly out at fucking midnight, 1 o'clock in the morning on Tuesday morning.
That's stupid.
And via Hong Kong. Never flown into Hong Kong before.
Are you staying in Hong Kong or you just?
No, just transiting through.
Hong Kong is the coolest. I'd love to go.
Yeah.
It's so cool.
Just transiting through Hong Kong and then Jetstar direct flight back to Brizzy on Sunday morning. I know, it's shit. It's Seoul is a really weird city to get to. It's like you can get a direct flight, at shitty times of the day, or you can go on a good airline like Singapore Airlines, something like that. You've just got to go through Singapore and it's over that way, you know?
Yeah.
So it's just weird. If I had time to stay, I would have, but I've got shit to do, so.
So do you have any free days in Korea?
Yeah, there's a little bit. So basically get in on the Tuesday and Wednesday and probably half of Thursday is the Korean International Beer Awards judging.
Yeah.
And then it's the KIBEX, which is the Korean Beer Expo, is on.
Oh, yeah.
And so that's on, and then they're going to take us out to do a brewery tour or something like that. So,
and who else is going?
I'm the only Australian on the list.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, there's a pretty stellar lineup of judges here. I'll show you.
Didn't Lee go 1 year? Am I making this up?
No, that's Japan. Japan.
Oh, that was Japan. Yeah.
Let me show you the list here of judges.
And have you done this one before?
No, I was due to go to Korea in 2020 had my ticket, was ready to go, and then the old pandemic happened and couldn't leave the country. So here we go.
And you've never, I assume you've never been to Korea before, right?
No, I've never been to Korea before. No. Interesting. No, should be good. That's I. She's from Japan. She's lovely. Axel, I don't know who this guy is. This is, I know the brewery though. Art Monster's excellent. That's Axel. He's from, he's a dude. We met up, Matty Cuthbert from Revel and I met up with him at Wyman Maltings in Bamberg and he showed us around and it was fantastic.
Your brother's there as well. That's cool.
Yeah. David Anderson, he's a legend. He's just got this farmhouse brewery somewhere in America and he's just the most chill bloke.
These guys have very fancy flannels. Have you noticed this?
Yeah. Look at this. They're all got their...
not these ones. The other two dudes. Oh. They're like... Those,
yeah,
like
they're pretty fancy. That's a Wyman flannel. You got to earn that shit, mate. That's a malting flannel.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah. And David Castro, he's from Madrid in Spain. He's a bloody champion.
That looks like the accounts flannel, like
that,
a thick version.
No, it's not that. It's the jacket version. Yes, the winter version. Mm. Jess Martinez, she's from Mexico. She is lovely. There is.
How do you know these people?
From judging in Japan and that sort of thing.
Oh yeah.
Joss is he just loves to have a fucking drink. That's Shettle. You know Shettle from you remember Nong No, the brewery Nong No.
Yeah.
He started it.
Wow.
Yeah. And then there's who else we got here? Hey, look at that guy. Do you know that guy?
Yeah. Yes, of the pod.
Yeah, Michael from Poland. He's going to be there. He's cool. He's going to have a good time. We're going to see a lot more of him this year. You and I.
Nice.
So so just keep an eye out for that. Can't say any more about that.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
And then there's Pete from Pete's Wicked Ale. He's going to be there. He lives in Brazil now. He's a dude. And who we got here? Shane McNamara. He's a nice guy.
I know
there's
that guy.
That guy. Hey, who's that guy there? He's pretty good. Old Hendo. These guys here, Tetsuya and Yusuke, they're from the Japan beer competition at Yusuke. There's two Yusukis. And it's so good. There's a pretty good lineup of judges there. So I'm looking forward to it.
Are you, when you go into something like that, because you haven't done it before, are you nervous or are you chill?
Beer judging is beer judging. I mean, they just give you instructions on how the nuances of that particular competition works and stuff like that.
Right.
But I don't know. A little bit nervous. I mean, whenever I go to a new country I've not been to before, I get a little bit nervous. But it's Korea, and the Korean guy I was talking to at the Korean fried chicken shop last night, he said, "You're fine. It's just like everything's open 24 hours, you know."
Yeah.
It's all
I'm
good.
Sure everyone's very, very nice and smart. Like
yeah, and it's clean and it's safe. And I'm staying in Gangnam, you know, like Gangnam style. Like
I know
song.
That guy. Psy.
Yeah. So in the street where my hotel is, there's a big giant Gangnam style sculpture. With the two hands doing these ones.
Oh, really? You can do the...
Yeah.
Can you give us a bit of that? Or not?
Like these ones here, Gangnam Style. Yeah.
Brilliant.
Yeah, that'll be me. So watch my stupid activities on Instagram next week. And, wow. So I'm pretty chuffed. Pretty chuffed. Very excited.
That sounds very cool.
Who are we going to get to fill in, though?
Well, Mazin's in some fucking balloon somewhere.
He's in Morocco.
Stupid photos of him, like, above the clouds in some fire balloon thing.
He's in Morocco.
Yeah, well, that's so stupid. That's the only thing more stupid than flying in a plane is going in one of those.
Is being in a balloon. Oh, absolutely.
Insane. When's he back? He's overdue an appearance. He can probably talk now.
Maybe, but I think he's away for a few weeks, so.
Yeah, okay. Well,
and to be honest, the poor bastard needs a break, so.
He might want to. He like fucking loves talking, that guy.
Oh, of course he does. Yeah. Maybe we could get who could we get? Should we get someone new or someone established?
What about Phil? Phil made his podcast hosting debut.
Phil Sharp.
The Pour One Out.
Yeah. The Pour Out podcast. Pour Out. Yeah. Podcast. Yeah, you want to get him on?
We could hit him up, see if he's keen.
Okay. Yeah, all right. I'll reach out to him.
All right. I would say Adam Schell, but he's been through some shit. Did you see his TikTok?
No.
Your boy, Adam Schell? You didn't see this?
Yeah, no.
Oh, okay.
What's on his TikTok?
Well, it's
I'm not
not.
on TikTok.
Oh, okay. Well, I don't know. Maybe he put it elsewhere. I don't know. Well, let's not talk about it in the pod. I'll message you after this. Reach
Okay.
out to him. He's been through some shit. I'll message you after the call. All right. So we've got some news. You sent me this one. Your G wait. Oh, GNT. You know how I read this?
G&T.
I thought it was GST. I read this as GST is getting more
Oh,
expensive.
fuck's sake.
I thought it was because of my comments last week about GST and taxation and whatnot.
Yeah.
But no, your GNT is getting more expensive. These distillery guys have been onto the press, so this I
Look,
assume is
it's
a
good timing with the issues that are happening in the beer industry and that sort of thing. There's a really interesting chart in there. Did you see the chart?
No, I actually haven't read this yet, so you're going to have to carry
Okay.
this one.
There's a good chart in there that shows, let me see if I can, am I allowed to bring that up? Is that copyright strike?
Share the
I don't
screen if
know.
you want, and in case anyone's watching this on YouTube, which they're probably not.
So basically they're saying Australia has vastly different taxes depending upon the alcohol. So whether it's wine or beer or cider or spirits, right? The wine equalization tax for wine and cider per standard drink does not factor in producer rebates. So basically what they're saying is how many dollars in tax per stando.
Right.
Okay. So
Okay.
an $18 cask of red wine, 5 liters, is 5 cents tax per stando.
Wow.
5 cents,
So
right?
I've never really fully understood how this works. How does that work?
I don't know exactly how wine equalization tax works, but if
It basically
anyone had.
incentivizes, it keeps available the cheap shit alcohol for people
Yeah,
who don't
because I
have
think
money,
it's a
right?
tax on the retail price, isn't it?
Something,
Is
yeah,
it
something like that.
something like that?
So
So you've
the
got.
cheaper shit is less
So, yes, it
taxed.
says here less expensive wine is taxed a lot less.
Right.
So it incentivizes cheap alcohol. And the whole point of the
Right.
alcohol taxes, they're a sin tax. If the government really gave a shit about health impacts and social impacts of alcohol, they would nip this shit in the bud, but they don't,
Well,
right?
yeah, but then you've also got the fact that you can't just make alcohol something that rich people can enjoy.
No, that's right. But well, yeah, but it's a little bit out of kilter when it's
Right.
5 cents per stando in a 5 liter cask of goon.
Yeah, no, I
You know
get you.
what I mean?
Like we're talking like 10x in a high
Exactly.
volume.
So you go to
Yeah.
so it's like 25 cents for a can of cider, 33 cents for a bottle light beer, 47 cents for a bottle mid strength beer, 58 cents for a can of craft beer, obviously not Imperial Stout. $40 bottle of wine is 60 cents,
But isn't this just
right?
exactly the way income tax and the luxury car tax and other things work, in that as your spending patterns show that you can afford to pay more, then you have to pay more. Like if you buy a $50,000 car, you don't, that's imported from overseas, you don't pay any tax on that. But if you buy a $75,000 car or whatever the number is now, you pay a shitload of luxury car tax because that's the way tax works. It goes up as you have more money. This doesn't seem that different to that.
It's interesting. $1.23 for a stando of brandy, $1.27 for a stando of gin, $1.29 for a stando of premixed spirits. I don't know. What's the solution there, do you think, in your
Well,
opinion?
yeah, I mean, I think that's a very good question because I definitely don't think equalizing that is the solution. There's no way that equalizing that is going to help anyone in anything more than the short term. And even any kind of excise reform, I think, is not going to help.
We're one of the this article says that we're one of the few countries on the planet that doesn't charge per stando, doesn't tax per stando.
Yeah. So what happens if, so if you tax per stando, what happens? The cheap wine gets a lot more expensive.
Yes,
A lot, I suppose,
the
less
spirits
people
get
drink.
cheaper.
Less people drink it, the crafty, more expensive stuff gets cheaper. But you still have the fundamental problem of a
It makes
duopoly
perfect. But it makes,
in.
but that's a different argument, right?
Well, it's not really because it's like it, it's nice to say that the tax will get cheaper and it'll benefit craft producers, but it equally benefits the big producers.
Oh,
So
100%. Of
it
course.
doesn't fundamentally change the fact that when you have an excise tax that you know you have to pay, you're still going to have to pay that. And you're going to be at an equal level of disadvantage to the multinationals, which you are now. So I don't personally think it would fix any of that. And like the reform that's happened in the past, I think is helpful for certain companies, but it hinders a lot of companies too.
Like the rebate, like the excise for refund and all that sort of stuff.
The increasing of
Yeah.
that with
That's a different thing. I think that you could I think that you could standardize the tax based on standard drinks across all forms of alcohol, but then provide the financial rebates for small producers or all producers pretty much. That provides the advantage to smaller producers who are less efficient.
No, that's fair. But there's
Because
going to be nuance in all of
that
that
would be
where
the
it doesn't
case
work
with
as
wine as
expected.
well, because there's a lot of small wineries as well, boutique wineries and stuff like that, that would need some government support, you know, and that sort of thing. Excuse me. And so yeah, it's an interesting one, you know. It's yeah.
I agree with you, but I don't think that changes
It's and the
anything.
other thing about beer tax and spirits tax, spirit excise and all sorts of stuff, it's too complicated. The system's too complex. You've got three different tiers of you know, of excise based on the ABV. So 0 to 3%, 3 to 3.5%, 3.5%+, right? And then there's a then and then out of that, there's each of those tiers, there's two tax rates based on whether it's the keg or pack rate. Right? It's fucking madness.
I
It's just
100% agree. That's what I was saying about the GST. It's a very efficient and simple tax. And like, if you're in business, the way you think about GST is that that money is not my money. Like if you think about your revenue, you don't count GST. If you think about the cost of a product, you don't count GST. It's added on top, and that money goes back to the government straight away. It's like you're just a collection arm for the government when
Passing
it comes
through.
to
Yeah,
GST.
exactly.
And
Yeah.
that's how every business thinks about GST. And excise is not thought about that way because it's too complicated, and people see it as revenue, and that's a massive, massive problem.
It's don't have any solutions. We're not that smart, but
Well, maybe your idea of simplifying it to standard drinks would be a move in the right direction, but I think ultimately the problem is at the moment is not excise. The problem is the impossibility of competing with the two distribution partners, the two multinationals, and just the mindset and the ability to accrue these huge excise debts, thinking it's your money. So I think those things would have to change to actually help the industry. And when businesses fail, they fail, and it's fucking heartbreaking, but businesses need to be allowed to fail.
Indeed. What else you got there?
Topic number two, Mighty Craft sell Mismatch in 78 degrees. Oh, I didn't put a link in here this one, did I? But it's on Crafty Pint. I'll add the link in. So this was quite an interesting one.
Yes, that was actually a really interesting article. So Mismatch and what is it, 78 degrees,
78
which is a
degrees, which I guess
distillery,
is
isn't it?
a distillery, yeah.
Distillery, yeah. Sold to a consortium led by a former CUB boss, and I can't remember his name. Did you read the article? Did you
I
know who that
did.
guy was?
No, Flip. No, I didn't. But I was aware that he was the same guy that bought the Jetty Road
That's
brew
right.
pub,
Isn't that
and
interesting?
yeah.
So I don't know what's going on there. This guy's basically got a consortium and he's hoovering up these brands from Mighty Craft,
Yeah. He's
probably
creating
for a
a Merryvale, if you like.
Interesting, isn't
So,
it?
yeah, which I think probably makes sense because this was originally Mighty Craft's, well, not originally, but their kind of second wave of what their mission was a big push towards hospitality venues. You would have noticed the Slipstream one is a good example in Queensland where they came in and they put in this massive venue, and that was kind of their thing. And then COVID hit, and that all became a big struggle. But I mean, pubs have always been a pretty good business,
Yes.
and there's it
Vertically
makes perfect
integrating a pub
sense.
is good.
Yeah, there you go. Like this, I think you mentioned a couple of weeks ago on the show that CBeCo were in that category where they were kind of owned.
That's
Well,
right.
Stone and Wood were owned by a quarter owned by a publican.
Yeah, it's interesting.
Well, so, same as Powers. A lot of breweries go have their roots. Same as Rocks. We had on the other week. So
Yeah,
yeah,
exactly.
it kind of makes sense for them. It makes sense for Mighty Craft because they're basically just trying to get rid of everything and they get paid for a couple of pubs.
What's left, I wonder?
I think there's better beer and that's not much
And
else.
Foghorn?
Oh yeah. Okay.
Foghorn's left.
Yeah.
I'm not sure what
So,
else.
do Foghorn still have two sites? They had that Hunter Valley
Yes.
one that they built, and then they had the
Yeah, and one in
original one.
Newcastle as well. Yeah, I think they still both exist. I'm not sure.
So you'd have to think like a business like Foghorn would still be
And do they
doing
still own
good,
their
right?
share in Ballistic, or is that that's done?
Well, I assume it went to nothing or almost nothing during the
Well,
VA.
no,
I
that's
don't know.
equity, not debt.
No, but new, but they, but isn't the way it works is new shareholders came in with a plan to put a
And
bit
took
of
over
money in and
51%. Yeah.
take over a certain amount of equity. So
Yeah. Yeah.
everyone would have been diluted or,
Yeah.
yeah. So maybe they still own some percentage or, but it wouldn't be significant. It was never really significant anyway. I think that was one of their smaller ones.
It was only like 10% or something like that.
Yeah, maybe 20, but it wasn't like they controlled it.
This fucking beer, this Young Henry's Classic Premium,
You're all about it.
didn't even touch the sides. It's gone.
Wow, it's gone. Shit. Well, that's what it's
Gone.
designed for, isn't it?
So good. Now I'm on a traveler. Now I've got a traveler. The full strength lager traveler.
Oh, nice.
Which
There you go.
Benny Taylor gave that to me the other day. And this is fucking
Yeah.
delicious too.
It is
This is
really
where we're
good.
at. This is where we're at. We're back. Lager's back.
Yep. I think it's not a bad. I mean, obviously, Mighty Craft just imploding, but it's not a bad outcome, is it? If you can sell a brewery and a couple of brew pubs for $7 million in the current climate, I feel like it's not a bad result.
That's indeed very well done. Very well done. All right, what else you got?
All right. Victoria's oldest independent brewery, Grand Ridge, is in voluntary administration. So I only just saw this an hour before we hit
Yeah, that happened the
record, so
same
it's
day
new.
as Black Ops.
Oh, did it? Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right. Fair enough. No. Are you no? Did it really?
Same day as Black Ops,
But reported on today, right? Okay. Interesting.
And that's
Why?
a that was a really interesting one. I don't know if you know much about Grand Ridge.
I have a faint memory of Grand Ridge, but then when I
They're
looked at
one
the
of the
pictures, I didn't
OG
recognize
breweries
any
of
of the beers.
they're around since 1997 or something like that. It's like nearly 30-year-old brewery in
Right.
Merbau North, which is in east of Melbourne.
Okay.
What's his name, Eric, who runs the place? Like the thing you have to acknowledge about Grand Ridge, it's the original Victorian craft brewery. It's been around longer than Holgate and longer than Mountain Goat and all those old brands and that sort of thing.
Right.
And some of the at the time very innovative and pioneering beers like Moonshine and Super Shine and all that sort of stuff, which were real sort of game changers just because of their ABV content. They were good beers as well. And the thing you have to acknowledge about Grand Ridge as well is a lot of Australia's veteran brewing talent, many of them cut their teeth at Grand Ridge.
Oh, nice.
I think there's brewers from Moondog, Three Ravens, who've come through there. I think I'm probably going to fuck this up, but there are brewers from all over the place who have been and worked at Grand Ridge. So there's a lot of history, there's a lot of pedigree, there's a lot of influence over the rest of the Victorian, if not Australian, craft brewing industries and stuff like that. And you know, it's another VA. I just don't really have much else to add to that. Just rather to acknowledge that, you
That's
know, it's
fair.
a very long-standing business and that sort of
Yeah, it's
thing.
a long time. I mean, they must have been doing something right. Was it like a venue, like a brew pub or?
Big production brewery. Big
Oh,
production
wow.
brewery, like 50 head
Wow,
brew
okay.
house or something silly like that. Yeah.
Wow. Amazing. Interesting. All right. What else we got? One more. I don't know if you'd seen this federal inquiry into beverage manufacturing. I saw this. This is actually not super new. It was back on March 22, which means it was before last week's episode, but I guess we had enough other shit to talk about last week, so I didn't include it. But the federal government are putting in a process to review food and beverage manufacturing, which is kind of interesting because it sort of lines up with when Kylie Lethbridge mentioned that she was sort of lobbying the government for some changes. They're calling for submission, so I assume all that's kind of related.
Good. I think it's good. Let's
Yeah.
see what happens.
Yeah.
When's that going to happen?
Well, it says you have to address it by 1st of May. So I suppose it's happening now. I mean, I don't know who responds to these things. I assume the associations like the IBA and the like. So yeah. Yeah, but
Good,
that'll be
good.
interesting.
That'll be a slow grind, but we'll see what
Yeah.
comes out of it. It should be pretty good. But they're inviting submissions. The committee is inviting written submissions addressing any or all of the inquiry's terms of reference. What are the terms of reference?
I had a quick look and then I just got buried in government
Board.
bullshit and moved on
Yeah.
immediately.
Yeah.
But
Yeah.
that's what the associations are for. So hopefully
Yeah,
looking at
indeed.
that and be part of it. All
Yeah.
right. So you want to do
Oh.
12 questions or Hendo Reacts? Or so Hendo Reacts has now become Hendo Reacts and Hendo Reacts to F1. It's a dual segment.
What? What?
It's HR and it's HRF1. So we've got two Hendo Reacts and three Hendo F1 Reacts.
Well, it's Japanese Grand Prix this weekend.
Yes, it is.
Is it on at a normal time? Because it's a similar time zone.
Oh, that would be awesome. I haven't actually seen anything. I started listening to a podcast today about it, but only just started that. Let's have a look.
Sick. Sunday, 7th of April at 3 p.m. Oh,
Oh,
so
no
good.
way. Oh, I'm going to be painting half lexicon at that very time in a house with no power.
I just put the KO on your phone, mate.
Hamilton hails four-time champion Vettel as an amazing option for Mercedes in 2025. Hamilton's taking the piss. That's the lead news
What?
story. Hamilton is taking the piss. He just doesn't want anyone good to compete with. He wants Sebastian Vettel to get the Mercedes drive in 2025.
Yeah.
Come on, Lewis.
He's had enough, though. Vettel's had enough.
Get in there, Lewis. All right. So quali 4 p.m. Nice.
This is so
Oh,
good.
that's
Oh, it's
so
another
fun.
weekend of like I can spend Saturday and watch the quali and hang out and have a beer. Like I'm
You know, last
stoked.
weekend there was no Gold Coast Suns and no F1. It was just
What did you
awful.
do?
Just I got
I mean,
nothing.
you could have painted
Nothing.
your house and now you're on the back foot trying to get it
Well,
done
I
in the
couldn't
next two
really because
weeks.
I needed electrical shit to be done, so I've been waiting for that to be done. But
All right.
this weekend I can do it right when the Suns are playing and the F1 is on, but that's all right.
Never mind.
We do it. All right, let's do a. Do you want to share your screen? Do a HR and a
Hendo
HRF1
reacts.
reacts.
Yep.
I'm
Share
going to
sound.
insert
Am I
theme
sharing
song
sound?
right now.
Hendo reacts. It's the segment that we go to when we're done spitting facts. Hendo reacts. Hendo reacts. Grab a beer, just sit back. It's time to relax.
Reacts, Hendo re I'm not gonna sing it.
Reacts.
I've had quite a bit of feedback on the song.
Yes, so have I. Yes. Are you got can you see the right screen?
Yeah. I got it. Right.
TikTok.
Sharing sound.
Yes.
Let's get copyright struck.
Yeah.
Today, we are launching the Jim's party. And this is a party
What?
designed to take over
So this
the
is
state government in Victoria. To become the ruling coalition of state governments with myself as Premier.
What do you think is the number one crisis
What the
facing the
fuck?
people at the moment?
Jim's mowing is he's on right now. It could be April Fool's. I don't know, but I'm on board.
We're getting hundreds of thousands of new people coming to the country every year, and we're not building nearly enough houses.
What policies will you enact to solve the crisis in a single term?
The first thing is we have to reform the zoning process. We have
That's
too
true.
Much in Victoria of NIMBYs, not in my backyard. And we actually have bananas. Build absolutely nothing anywhere near anyone. That's that attitude is we're not going to build, we're not going to allow anything. We have got to relax the zoning laws. We've got to reform them to allow people to live in properly dense environments, particularly in areas like the inner suburbs and
yeah.
near railway stations.
This is true.
And that will immediately bring down the cost of housing.
That's some good, that's some rock solid housing policy right there.
So I'm on board with this. You're on board with this, Jim, for
bloody oath. I don't know about the guy himself, but because I don't know too much about him, and I don't know about
his
political party.
It just seems cool. I want to get him on the podcast. They have a beer. They have the Jim's beer.
Yeah, yeah. Look, I don't know about his party affiliation or his other policies or anything like that. But that policy around housing and town planning and NIMBYs and all sorts of stuff—that shit's holding Australia up. Like in my suburb here, they wanted to build another high-rise tower down near the park down there on the river where there's plenty of them anyways, and all the people with existing apartments there going, no, you can't build that. That's going to lower the value of our property.
Right.
That's like, you're crazy. I want more people to live in my suburb, because if more people live in my suburb, I'm 4Ks from the CBD. This is this place, and it's already medium to high density anyway. I live in an apartment. The whole street is apartments in the old six packs and stuff like that. And we need more housing like that. And I think the thing that the cultural shift that has to change, and I know you don't agree with this, is that your principal place of residence, your PPOR, is not an investment. It's a roof over your head. And we view real estate as and even our own houses as an investment. I live here because of a roof over my fucking head, you know?
Yeah, because but that's, if a, I, if that's I, a luxury. If I sell, it's a luxury belief to have, Hendo.
In 2024, absolutely.
Yeah, you can sit there and say that this is not an investment. Meanwhile, you've got an appreciating asset that a lot of people can't invest in that you're never going to have to pay tax on.
That's fine. But the thing is, if I sell this place, I got to live somewhere else.
Yeah.
So I'm at the beck and call of the market anyways, right?
Right, but that's a luxury position, because most people can't even get into.
No, exactly. I agree. Yeah, for sure.
But the question really is whether building more housing like that does actually make things more affordable. Because I don't know a lot about town planning and whatnot, but I do wonder whether that is actually true. Because like I've noticed on the Gold Coast, there's very few housing estates that go in on the Gold Coast in areas that are affordable. There used to be a lot sort of around Pacific Pines and Pimpamar and places like that, Upper Coomera, where it was like you could buy a house for 400 grand, and if you were happy to live there, you could get into the market. There's not really anything like that anymore. And there's a big estate going in at Highland Park, which is on the western side of the freeway. So it's like it's next to Narang. It's basically Narang. And I've looked through there, and all the blocks, it's going up this huge hill. All the blocks have massive retainer walls. There's no decent blocks. It's all elevated, very small blocks. Like some of these blocks are 300 square meters, which is fucking tiny. Like you can't build much on a 300 square meter block. And they're selling for $600,000-$800,000. Like that's, if that's your argument, if more density is the argument to reduce land prices, I feel like this is like a very obvious example where that's not the case. Like no one's building, no capital allocator is sending money into a project to build cheap housing. The government are the only people that do that.
Yeah,
everyone else just wants to make as much money as possible.
Exactly. Yeah, it's mad, eh?
So his argument about, you know, increased density, therefore it'll make housing more affordable, I don't know if that's true.
No, it doesn't make it more. It doesn't make it more affordable, because there's other things that need to happen other than the building of apartments and that sort of thing. It's like, you know, building standards for high rise in Australia broadly is shit.
Yeah,
they're shitbox apartments that are poorly built, at the lowest possible cost. Right, that's one issue. I would not buy an apartment in a modern high-rise building. End of story. Because I know it's going to be a shit box. I know it's going to be shoddily built. I know it's going to have body corporate fees that are going to be like nearly $10,000 a year, which is a fucking rort.
Yeah.
You know, and it's mad.
I had a conversation with Byron at work the other week, and he had an idea which to me seemed reasonably logical. Not, this is not fucking property advice, but his idea was have basically a, you know how you have the first home buyer grant, which is just sort of like a wad of upfront cash that you get as the first home buyer.
Yes.
But have something along those lines, but instead of a bunch of cash that you get once, it's basically a reduced interest rate that you get as a privilege of only owning the place you live in. So along your lines, if your goal is to buy a house that you live in because you want shelter, then you have access to a preferred rate that is sort of a government-backed situation with the banks where, you know, the banks give you 5% and the government give the bank 1.5 or whatever to cover up the difference to the market rate.
Yeah, yeah.
And then as soon as you become a multiple property owner, you go from...
You lose it for all of them.
You lose it. You lose it for all of them. So you become an investor that is just in the free market. And that's an interesting idea because there's a lot of people that just have no hope of getting into the property market. And it does seem like of all the time I've been following property, which is a long time, it seems like not that fairness has ever really been a thing, but it just seems so unfair. Something like that, I feel like would possibly help, but just adding more densities, I don't think is going to do it.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's have a look at this next one, eh?
Paul James. Paul James, this is the shout out. He sent me this. So thank you, Paul.
All right. What do we got? Come on. Okay, so I'll mute that music, but it's basically if you're listening to this, it's a guy who's in the shower who's got a 50-liter keg sitting outside of his shower. He's got his head poking through the shower curtain. He's got a party tap hooked up to the like a Bronco tap hooked up to the keg and a pump so he can pump beer straight out of the keg and into his mouth while he's in the shower. Yeah, and the caption is taking shower beer to a whole new level.
You can't argue with that, can you?
Can't argue with that at all. What's this next one? HRF1.1,
which is Hendo Reacts to F1.
Hendo Reacts F1.1.
Yeah.
Okay.
Quali is short for qualifying. If you DNF, you did not finish. In the off season, there's no Formula One. Once the season starts, there's racing. The team changed their name, which means they had a different name, and they raced under that name and not the old name. Las Vegas is in America. Ferrari are red. If you didn't win, then you haven't won. If you qualify first, then you start the race at the front, and that's good. The quickest car is the least slowest car. When the lights go out, the race starts, and with every lap, there are less laps left. If you can overtake, you are no longer behind the car that was in front of you. These drivers drive to survive.
That pretty much sums up Drive to Survive. Eh?
Yeah, that's that Will Buxton guy. It's just, kind of hard to watch. But...
It's just like stater of the bleeding obvious.
Oh, wait, have you finished it yet?
No.
You've got to finish it. I feel like it's worth it. It gets good towards the end.
Okay, I'll watch an episode after this.
Yeah.
All right, what have we got here? TikTok? What the fuck? With a can of Red Bull in his mouth, an empty can of Red Bull in his mouth. That was very good.
Judging by the reaction, do you think those guys have seen that one like every day on lunch break? For, like,
yeah, they're probably looking at it just like with their head in their hands going, fuck, we just shut up, mate. It's like a tradie.
Yeah.
All right, HRF1.3.
The guy that got me into racing. The reason I became a racing driver. Oh, man. He's like my hero. Like Shane.
Sorry, I had to mute that. That was Liam Lawson being really nervous and then seeing the car's car.
The car's car.
What's
from
what's,
Cars.
What's the car movie. Name? Yeah, what's the car? What's his name?
Lightning McQueen.
Lightning McQueen, yeah.
Yeah. Did you see the did you see the April Fools of like Liam Lawson has replaced Daniel Ricciardo at RB? That was good.
Was that from the RB social media?
No. But just someone. And I was like, oh, yeah, I believe that. And they're like, what? Okay, yeah. April Fool. They got me.
Fuck.
Did you see any good April Fools? Not really.
Not really.
It's fucking stupid.
Yeah.
12th question. So I'll get to the group in a second, but before I do that, I got a message from Jet, who is
Jet Regate. Yep.
Such a member of the 12. I got a few messages this week of people saying, I'm not sure if you remember me, but I got, and there's all people I know, like,
how
I feel
we
like I know reasonably
Jet?
Well. I know, like, he's
don't
come
forget,
to
don't
more
forget
meetups
Jet.
Than you have.
Yeah. What?
Oh, 100%.
And he was at the Adam Beer Brew Day?
Exactly. Adam Beer Brew Day. He was at their first meetup that you, I think, didn't even show up to.
Yeah.
No,
and
well,
then he was
he
at
did,
the Black Ops 3.
He was at BH3, and so he's 3 from 3.
Hmm.
So his question is, as a newbie to the beer industry, I'm constantly disheartened by the seemingly near never-ending stream of VAs every week, watching what I think will be sort of a hibernation occurring within the industry in the next year. That's fair. I want to continue working in the industry I've grown to love, but until something big changes, the future looks bleak. Among my mates and other young drinkers, I've noticed an obvious trend towards RTD-style drinks, hard-rated 196, seltzers, etc. So my question is, do you see a possible area in the market where someone could produce small-batch, locally-made and owned RTD-style drinks, something like hard-rated, but a range of different flavors, championing Australian botanicals and products, and made on premises at a small brew pub type setting? I think these types of beverages are the future, especially among our younger audience, and could be an area of the market that blossoms in the coming years.
Yeah, that's an excellent question. And I would say to Jet, just to unpack a little bit there, don't be disheartened, mate. What's happening is completely normal, right? It is, for the last 15 odd years, the craft beer industry has absolutely exploded. And this, what is happening now, was to be expected. And the only thing that's, you know, the thing that's, that I guess would affect you is that you're a young fella and you've just completed the TAFE course and you've just entered the industry as your career, right? And your vocation. And then all of this negative shit is happening, right? And that's just poor timing, right? Nothing else, right? There's nothing, there's nothing wrong with the brewing industry other than the fact that it's maturing and this shakeout is happening. Beer is going to be around for a very, very long time, right? But that said, though, consumer tastes also change over time. So sort of like to look at your thing with regards to RTDs and stuff like that. Mate, try and get a job as a cider maker and ask them how they feel, because the sales of cider goes up and down and up and down. It's like a bloody yo-yo, right? Almost on a basis. So imagine instead of going to TAFE to study brewing, you went to TAFE to study cider making. You would be on a wild ride. And if I was a cider maker and I was trained up at the same time and did everything in the alternate timeline, instead of me being a brewer, I was a cider maker, I would still be on that same roller coaster because it's been like that forever. All right. And that's just the nature of that particular alcoholic beverage, right? Beer's always going to be around. It's going to change. I think you can tell by my choice of beer this evening where that direction is going. And it's going to head toward more towards that mass appeal kind of thing. And if I was to take the advice from, I can't remember his name, the guy from the Brewers Association had come and spoke at BrewCon last year. He basically said what craft breweries need to do is they need to diversify their offerings. So it's not, so we don't need RTD style breweries, so to speak, or, what's that one? It was around a corner from Black Ops. Was it Fizz or
Fizz,
whatever? It has all
they're
the
crushing it
DJs.
as
It
far as
does
I
all,
know.
has all the DJs and
Hard
have all the
Fizz,
DJs and shit and pretty girls and everything. Yeah.
yeah. That's
And
like
so,
Fisher's like brand.
yeah, well, the thing is, you'll see a little bit more of that, but the fact of the matter is that breweries need to diversify their offering. And I'll admit that in the past I've sort of poo-pooed seltzer and all that sort of stuff and gone, I don't want to make I don't want to make seltzer or anything like that because it's not beer. But you have to adapt. And I'd say to you, Jet, if your friends are your friends who are young like you are drinking 196s and hard rated and all that sort of stuff, learn how to make it yourself. It's not hard. In fact, if you drop me a line, I'll show you how to make a neutral seltzer base, and then you go and figure out how to flavor it up and create some stuff for your friends. And then go and I can even show you how to do it that it falls under beer excise.
Chuck a hop in there. Little.
Yeah, you showed a picture of hops. He's like, yeah, there's some hops, a picture, look at this photograph.
Yeah, nice.
And then that's it. That's the thing, right? So the thing is that the breweries that are being shaken out at the moment are victim to a lot of financial pressures coming from lots of different angles, reduced sales, increased taxes, inflation, raw materials, rent, energy, all that sort of stuff, right? But people are still drinking alcohol,
Yeah.
right? And beer sales in Australia have been in decline for more than 50 years. It's nothing new, right? And will continue to decline. And the breweries of Australia just need to learn to adapt and diversify their offering. And some of them are, and some of them are doing quite well at it. Some of the breweries are diversifying in different ways. Have a look at Young Henry's. This is a great example. It's just a clean, easy drinking lager that's mass produced and pretty cheap. That's one way to diversify, right? Then you've got breweries that have seltzer brands attached to them and stuff like that. You've got breweries that are going into distilling, Lee out at White Lie is probably a classic example of that, and he's not the only one. I'm just thinking of that one because it's the first thing that pops into my head. Lee, when I'm lying in bed at night, I hope he's
Wow,
listening. And
it's too much. But he also has a hard rated sort of version,
Yeah,
doesn't
yeah. Oh, Big Shed's probably a classic example as well. Big Shed
he?
just come out of EA, and they're doing seltzers and stuff like that because they just recognised that they needed to diversify, And that's your job, Jet, as a young brewer, is to keep your skills current and keep your skills up to date. And if the consumer is moving towards doing things like, seltzers and RTDs and all that sort of stuff, then learn how to make them and keep yourself current and relevant. And you'll do very well in this industry, Be a good brewer as well. Don't forget beer, but yeah.
I like your answer. I think there's a couple of things that I would have a difference of opinion on. One is
Yeah.
just the idea that like a company like Young Henry's going mainstream with that sort of lower ABV lager and the cheap entry price, that kind of thing, which obviously a lot of breweries have done, or going into seltzer, I don't necessarily think that is the smartest move for breweries, and it's going to save them. And what do you say about a shakeout? I think is right, but I think there's still plenty to be excited about in the industry that is not mainstream lager. I think the industry that he talks about that I fell in love with is not one that would be exciting if we were making mainstream lager.
Yes.
It would never have been interesting to any of us if that's all we were doing.
Yes.
So, and I don't think that is lost. I think what is lost is these companies trying to compete with the Coles and Woolies and the Asahis and
Yep.
Kirin's, but the local craft breweries, I think, are still doing quite well. As far as I can tell, they're
Yes.
doing quite well.
Yes.
And we've mentioned this on this show before, that like that is ultimately probably the best thing about this industry, is the smaller, more local, experience-based, differentiated beer is what the craft industry is about. So I wouldn't necessarily agree that like dumbing down your product to a point where it's just competing with everything else that's out there is the way to the future of the industry.
It's something that works for that particular brewery. Cool.
Right. But there's still plenty of...
Every brewery's got to have their own strategy.
Yeah. But if your passion for the industry is not mainstream lager and it is instead, you know, crafting drinks that are unique and different and interesting, then that part of the industry, as far as I can tell, is alive and well. So that's plenty to be excited about. You know, if he says he's sort of depressed, I think that's still every reason to be excited. No. And the other thing about, I think the fierce thing, you go.
No, I was just saying, don't be depressed. It's not doom and gloom. It's just change. That's all it is.
Yeah. And then the point around the seltzer and sort of pivoting to do seltzers and whatnot, I think there's a massive thing happening in commerce at the moment where the people who have the influence, it's never, ever been easier for them to create any product. And you think about all the famous alcohol brands, the George Clooney, the Jeremy Clarkson, the Ricky Gervais. Mm. These are all things we've had on our podcast. The famous people, Ryan Reynolds,
Conor McGregor,
the gin he does. There's so many of these. And then even locally, the same. Like Fizz is an example of that. It's an influencer-driven brand.
Yeah.
Those brands are about the marketing and not the product. And that's going to just... look at Mr. Beast's fucking chocolate bars. Like, they're just selling out across the entire globe because of the amount of influence he has. And that is a trend that is affecting every aspect of commerce, and it's affecting beer and RTDs and everything else. And you can't deny that. It's not, if you're a brewery with, you know, 5,000 very loyal, crafty followers, you're not competing with an influencer with 500,000 followers who can make a seltzer. You're just not. So I don't think the answer is in the product. I think the answer is in the distribution and the marketing. And I mean, what Nick Cogger did with Better Beer is, I mean, that's kind of genius, isn't it? I mean, at some point he must have realized
absolutely, yes,
Corky Beverage Company is not making a high-selling, low-carb beer.
Yeah, it needs an influencer. Yeah. But he'd been working on that for a decade, you know, so.
Yeah.
Or not with other brands. And that was the thing that just made it click.
I think about that with coffee too, because I think like if I don't sell much retail coffee, I don't sell much on the website, don't sell a whole lot at the shop, like a little bit. And I think like if I wanted to like build a brand around selling direct to consumer coffee, it would be almost impossible for me to do that. But like every single influencer could just tomorrow say I'm selling coffee and just sell and then, more coffee than I could possibly produce.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's the world we're living in.
Interesting. Chin up, Jet. You're going to be okay.
Oh, I also put a link into this to specifically answer his question around having local botanicals and
what's
things.
That one?
Did you see
which
this?
One's that?
Are you familiar with this Bizarro app? I don't even know what these things are called.
Aperitivo,
yeah. So this is like an
share
example.
My screen again?
Yeah, share your screen. Yeah. Have you got the Instagram account?
Yes. Right there. Bizarro Aperitivo, artisan Australian small batch Aperitivo, established 2021. Ooh, ballsy. Cousin of Delinquent Wine Company.
So these things are really, really delicious. I'm not even really exactly sure what they are, but they are very tasty. They're not super cheap. They're in small cans. I get them like reasonably regularly.
And on tap.
Yeah.
Tap
so these are, so you find these at like your fancy bottle shops. I don't know anything about the brand, but they seem to have landed on something that is not just a generic sort of seltzer. It's something that is has specific flavors that appeal to people. They're a higher price point. So I mean, something like this I think is doable, and like these guys seem to be doing it pretty well. I don't know whether they're making money, but you know, I buy that at a higher price point than I would buy some kind of generic sort of RTD.
Yeah, absolutely.
And a cool brand too.
And a cool brand, exactly. 12 questions?
12 questions. All right. We don't look at these, and if they're bad, I'll try not to read them.
I don't
out.
Look at them. I definitely don't look at them. Despite the fact that people try and tag me, I will block you.
You have to stay out of them. All right. They're probably not as many this week as last week, I'm guessing. Okay. All right. Dave Walls. Why do Mighty Craft think that they can get out of this with something still? They have $20 million of debt at 11.5% and one major asset being a 33% stake in Betterbeer. They want to maximize shareholder returns, yet continue to pay executive salaries and listing fees. Sell Betterbeer, sell the shell company for a backdoor listing and stop wasting our time and money. I'm pretty sure that's what they're doing, isn't it? That's what they're doing.
Yeah, that's what they're doing.
Yeah, things take time.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, we called it on the podcast a very long time ago. I'm not sure where.
Yeah.
That's what's happening.
Even though it's not Mighty Craft advice.
Not Mighty Craft advice, but also the salary was a it was they basically got rid of the executive team and they put someone in on a temporary basis. You know, it was like a 3-month contract or something. I think we talked about on the show. So it's all coming to an end for sure.
Yes.
Nick Leonard, love the response on Black Ops last episode. Keen to listen to your ultimate session on beers. Oh, hops, maybe on hops he's talking about. I like to drink
Yes.
I love the response on hops last episode. I don't know if he's talking about hops or black hops. Maybe he's just talking about hops because we did talk about hops. Keen to listen to your ultimate session on beers. I like to drink once a week or fortnightly and always find a plan your beer lineup. Well, it's very organized.
Ooh, okay. Yes.
Maybe an odd question, but keen to hear.
That's right. Yeah.
If you had a six pack for the night of any beers in the world,
yes.
With all those years of trying beers, what would be in your six pack and what order would you drink them in from start to finish? Wow.
Oh, that's a very long conversation. And I would need to. We've done that in a past episode. What would be your ultimate six pack?
Not ultimate six pack, but I feel like if we need to prepare for this, I feel.
Yes. What would be in my ultimate six pack? Yeah, so I need to think about that. We'll cover that when I get back from Korea, I think. That's a good topic to talk about.
Okay, I'm going to put that for the next week's show notes. We'll put that in there because that needs a bit of consideration. Paul James, question. Will Hendo's PSA at the start of the show this week be like an 80s, 90s stay away from drugs message? It pretty much was, wasn't it? You mentioned acid.
I did, yes. Yes, don't do acid. Unless you like it.
All right, Ben Taylor.
Ben Taylor, he gave me this beer. Yeah.
Suggestion, a spicy addition to the over-under race. Loser has to set Hendo Reacts as their ringtone. Yeah, I like that.
Oh, fuck. That's like if you lose, like, yeah, winner gets a Dixon Flano. Loser has to have the Hendo Reacts song set.
Well, I am a little bit offended by that, but I also like it, and I think we should do that for 1 month. 1 month, I reckon.
1 month, yes, I agree.
All right. Paul Metcalf, question. Dan, is it just you and me? Can Hendo please just watch the final this Sunday night? And then it's got the, is this the Pablo Escobar maths. Type thing? Waiting until Sunday for maths type thing?
What are you going to watch? Are you going to watch the Grand Prix? Are you going to watch maths?
Oh, both. You can cover both, not an issue.
Two TVs.
Well, no. What F1 was at 3 o'clock, didn't you say?
Yeah.
I'll be done and dusted. Maths finale.
Yeah.
Probably 7 o'clock. Good to go.
All right. Okay.
I've watched it all already. It's basically just they all come together for a dinner party right at the end and catch up, and it's going to be spicy. Yeah. It'll be high quality.
Okay.
But his question is, can Hendo please just watch the final?
Fuck no.
Well, why? He said please.
No. Well, I'm sure he said please. That doesn't mean I have to say yes.
Well, do you respect your audience or not? Did Paul McCartney,
I do respect the
number
audience.
One or number two member of the 12?
Yes. Right.
So when he asked,
I do respect the audience.
He says please.
That doesn't mean I have to do it.
I'm not saying you have to. I'm just to tell Paul why you're not going to do what he asked politely for you to do.
I'm just not into maths, even the finale. Because if I would just stepped in and watched the finale without watching the whole rest of it, none of it would make sense.
No, you'd love it. It'd be great.
I'd just be
Jack
watching
his man bun, just see Collins.
Yeah.
It'd be awesome.
Is it? Yeah. I just, but yeah. Okay.
All right, Ben Cree, should the next pod beer be a red IPA called Smooth Operator? Oh,
Oh, make the put that in the notes.
I like that. That's a
Oh,
fucking winner.
yes. Yes. I love making red beers.
Oh, yeah. That's good. Ben Cree. All right, I'm going to add that into the notes. We've got to find a different brewery, though, right? Or just like keep brewing beers at Highgate. Let's see how they sold the other ones first. They might not have us back.
Yeah.
All right. Damien Rigby, question with a K and a West Sean semicolon. He's just being rude. Are April Fool's Brewery post cringe or bussin' FR? I don't know what that means, but cringe as fuck. I'm not a fan. It's stupid. You?
They're okay.
Okay. All right. You see any good ones?
I don't look forward to April 1st to see what's going to happen, but
No.
it's just like, yeah, that's kind of funny.
Yeah, okay. Fair enough. Stuart McGregor question. Would you buy a wildflower butt plug? Wow, that's
Wow.
interesting. That's a just a lovely piece of brass from the Czech Republic working on some new things. Wow, that is a it's a hop that did I mean it looks I don't have any butt plugs, but I imagine if you did have one, it would look somewhat similar to
Right.
that. Do you are
Well,
you into this kind
what
of
do you
thing at
mean?
all?
Do I have to look at this?
Yeah, you have to look at it.
Can I look at the Facebook group now?
Yeah, you can look at it.
Where is the Facebook group, by the way?
Facebook.com/groups/boss and the brewer. Feel free to join. It's high quality.
Oh dear.
Yeah, that's why don't we do the loser of the over
The
under
under over
has to
gets a wildflower butt plug.
it's while listening to Hendo reacts. It's,
Wow.
let's just leave that one
I'm
alone.
yeah, interesting.
Well,
There
whatever you're
you
into. Menon belted sweaters. Have either of you
go.
brewer with whole cone hops, fresh or dried, or brewed, I'm guessing?
Yes.
Whole cone hops. Oh, yeah, that's a good question. Okay, if so, share your experience compared to brewing with pellets in methodology and outcome in terms of flavor comparison. Well, I haven't brewed with anything, so I can't answer that one.
Yeah. I've actually brewed a beer with wild harvested hops when I was working at Prickly Moses.
Oh
And
yeah, that's
there
fun.
was hops growing locally wild, and we harvested some and put them into a beer. I'm not a massive fan of wet hop beers that from whole cone. You don't need to dry them, hence the reason why it's called wet hopping, because they're not dried. The best way to use wet hops and to use whole cones, right? And also the other thing as well, because they're whole cones, you can't import them into Australia, right? So the only place you can get whole cone hops is either Australian or New Zealand varieties, right? Because we've got the Trans-Tasman Agreement, that sort of thing, because of quarantine. You can't bring in whole flower hops from the United States, for instance, because of biosecurity, because there's downy mildew and all that sort of stuff that you know, our hop industry is very good and very lucky because we don't have a lot of the diseases that hops have overseas. We don't want them here, right? Because a lot of the local hop varieties, such as, you know, like, oh, I'm not going to name the specifics because I actually don't know the answer, but I do know that some of our local Australian hop varieties are not resistant to some of the diseases that exist overseas. So we don't want those diseases here, right? And so that's why you can't get them here and wouldn't want them here, right? To protect our local hop industry and the uniqueness of the uniqueness of the Australian hop varieties that we've got, you know, Galaxy and that beautiful Topaz, and I'm being facetious, and yeah. So if you're going to use whole cone hops, the best place to use them is to find a way to create yourself a hop back. And what a lot of breweries do is they will mash in, and then they will transfer the wort to the kettle, grain out their lauter tun, and they use the lauter tun as a hot back. So during the boil, they'll grain out and they'll give it a bit of a wash, and then they will fill up the lauter tun with hot cones, and they'll pass hot wort through that and then knock out. That's the best way to use them. Dry hopping with whole flowers and that sort of thing. There's a lot of vegetal material. Your beer is going to wind up tasting grassy. I don't find that particularly pleasant. I don't mind wet hop beers and that sort of thing that are done with whole flowers, but I don't go, oh yeah, it's wet hop beer season. Yeah. You know, yeah. I appreciate them for the uniqueness and characteristics that they have. But geez, I'm glad it's only done once a year.
Mm.
So that would be my advice. You know,
that is actual wet hop advice.
Yeah, 100%.
Nice. All right. Well, enjoy your weekend. Enjoy the F1, and let me know if Phil's keen to host next week.
I'll reach out. Sounds see you week after next.
Love your work, mate. Good luck in Korea.
Thanks, mate. See ya.